This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, my name is Brandt. Thank you for listening. We try to do a real good show every day, a real good radio program.
That's true, we do.
We present it to you the best we can.
In the purity of our hearts.
It's a gift to you, yeah. But it may, to you, seem kind of raggedy. It's true. But it is, it's wrapped. And it's like, here you go, this is for you. And you may be like, well,
what is this?
I don't understand this. Or maybe like, you know what? I like you guys. You may not exactly be smooth or know exactly what you're doing, but friends.
It's raggedy but authentic.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. People who appreciate that, we get you. Thank you for joining us. Got this little note on our Facebook page being thanked by Heather, and I appreciate that, Heather. She said, I love that you watch Jane Austen films and you like them. Pride and Prejudice is marvelous, and Emma, such classics. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I do like Jane Austen films, mm-hmm. and I don't have a problem saying it. And furthermore, I will add, I can bench about...
Oh my goodness.
Reasonably about 280, maybe 300.
Why do you feel like we need both of those pieces of information tied together?
I just thought I'd throw out two pieces of information.
Okay, they had no correlation between the two at all?
No,
okay.
No, just here's a couple of facts. And I just want to throw that in there, too.
Okay, got it.
By the way, I want to mention something. This Heather, who wrote me on Facebook, she's like, yeah, I like Jane Austen films, and me and my 10 daughters sit down and watch them, and so on and so forth. I'm like, hey, that's really cool. I'm glad you like them, too. Wait a second. What did you say?
I know. I did the same thing when I saw
what?
That. Yeah.
My 10 daughters? And she does. She has 10 daughters.
And 3 sons.
And 3 sons who probably are just like, what are we doing here? It's just so awesome. Big families. I mean, you know this. People don't have big families like they used to. A lot of reasons for that. But the people who react to that negatively, I'm like, what's it to you, honestly? So they've got a big family. That's awesome.
It is.
Go for it. The fact that she homeschools them may make us all feel weak. And
would you said you wanted to be a visiting professor there? You go there,
yeah,
and teach some classes.
Totally. If you guys need someone as a visiting professor, I will go and teach the 13 all I can. Kind of wondering about people who are younger than me. And I'd just like to know what you are doing. This isn't a slam at all. It's a genuine question. Like, what are you doing with the brain space that I had to use to, like, squirrel away phone numbers? Because we had to remember numbers. Like, our friends were numbers to us. My friend Rob, I know what his number is to this day.
Right.
Multiple friends are a sequence of, like, 7 or 10 numbers.
Well, wasn't it usually 4? Because we had those first 3 were the same. The area code was the same. The first 3 were the same.
That's true.
So it was like 7599.
Right.
4233.
3917. Right. That's the thing. We can still rattle these off for years. So that's occupying space in our brain, freed up for you to excel in various areas. And we'll never get to that level.
So maybe your question is,
yeah,
what are you doing with it?
Maybe that's why you guys are just better at tech stuff.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Maybe like, oh, I got time for Snapchat. I don't, because I still have these numbers clogging everything up. Caution, what I am about to say will be totally countercultural and almost crazy sounding, but I'm going to say it anyway because no one else is generally saying it.
Okay.
How much out there? I'll wait till the fanfare is over and then I will begin to say the countercultural thing. Imagine this, a little thought experiment. Let's say you have $500. That's it, okay? And you're running up against grocery bills, other bills. You're like, well, I'm not going to have money. I got to stretch this out. Or, wait a second, I can take a little vacation to Vegas. Right? Okay, so you could take the vacation and blow all the money and then have nothing. Mm. Or you could say, well, let me make this work. What is the ordered thing to do? Like, the disordered thing to do would be, I'm just going to go blow all this money. The ordered thing to do would be, no, I don't, because I want to eat later. Okay, so that thing that we're talking about, that ordered thing, is called wisdom. It means you can prioritize in an ordered way. You're thinking in an ordered way. Foolishness is disordered thinking. The reason this is countercultural to bring this up, because very few people talk about wisdom. They talk about being credentialed. being an expert, accruing knowledge. And while all those things can be wonderful, and I'm certainly pro all those things, you can still be disordered in your thinking and still be credentialed. You can still have lots of knowledge and be disordered in your thinking. And man, it's costly. The great news about this is if you believe in God and you believe the God of the Bible, he's very faithful and wants us to ask for wisdom so that we can have the ordered thinking. And he says knowledge is a good thing too, but wisdom is more precious than anything else. So I just want to encourage you, and this is for me too, a reminder to me, keep asking for wisdom so you can make ordered thinking part of your life. And man, that benefits not just you, but everybody around you. There should be a math equation for this. I don't know what we call it. The law, it'd be a law, that's it. The law of inverse kindness. And that's this. I've lost everybody, haven't I?
Not yet.
Nobody's paying any attention.
I'm interested. I'm like,
okay. What I was thinking about, and it was, I have friends talking about it this morning too, pointed it out to me, like, we tend to be really kind to strangers, but honestly, it's the people that are closest to you that you should ramp up your kindness and your politeness. Like just the, you know, I'm polite to strangers, but to your own family, to your own coworkers, people around, like that's like raise your politeness game. The word polite comes from the same word from politics, strangely enough, or police, but it actually means effectively like making things work together, like oil. In an engine, like it lubricates the culture, it helps things go smoother. But to my wife, I need to be especially kind because we live together in close spaces, to my kids, to my neighbors, but radiating outward. It's like we got it wrong. We're less kind to the people close to us and more kind to the people on the outside. We should flip that upside down. Just talking about kindness towards the people who are closest to us. A lot of times we're more polite and more kind to strangers or people on the outside. When really the people closest to us, they like be polite and kind to them. It's also weird too. Like Oswald Chambers, this guy that wrote this famous like devotional or book, he said like do the thing closest to you, which is a great way to think about it. Like be really faithful with the stuff that you have right in front of you. But what's weird is when we're disordered in our thinking, we want to be famous. And then we mistreat the people closest to us.
It's true.
We want people out there to think well of us, but we're not kind to the people closest. Like, there's something really odd about that. And the way Jesus talks about it, the way it is in the Bible, is like, be faithful with what you're given and then go from there. But to want to skip to, oh, I want all that, but I'm not even being kind and faithful with the things that are being handed to me, it's messed up. They had some real smart people at universities. You probably noticed that. Well, one of them is Stanford University in the state of California, and they have figured out, they studied human voices, and they have figured out that a study by researchers at Stanford published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology found that people hear personality in voices. Yeah.
Okay.
They hear voices, and they try to
determine what the person's personality is
right.
by
the way they sound.
Okay.
And what they say, like, gives you some indication what this person is like.
Is this disheartening for you being on the radio here?
Actually, it's not that revelatory to me. I would have.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a slow on the uptake as far as humans reading each other. But I've already thought about that. Like,
okay.
I can tell things about people based on how they talk, right?
Yes.
Like they say people who speak really fast and like, oh, that person's an extrovert.
Okay.
That's in this study. And the people who are more slow and perhaps more monotone, like, I don't know me, tend to be introverts.
And they studied this.
Yes, at Stanford.
Okay.
You guys.
On top of your game out there.
You guys are way ahead of this. Way ahead. That's kind of inspiring. Sherry just told me off the air, I didn't realize that she was actually accepted by Stanford, and she told them, no way, you're not getting Sherry. That's pretty cool.
It didn't go down quite like that.
Well, but they accepted you into their school.
Yes, they did.
And so you must have applied.
I did, yes.
And that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
I just like the whole no.
Uh-oh. Right. Well, it was more my mom saying.
Yeah.
Who's paying for that?
Still.
A no is a no. That's
pretty cool. I feel my prestige is enhanced mm-hmm. by the fact that you work on my show. Imagine where you would have been if you wouldn't have met this Stanford.
Yeah.
You know, and stuck on somebody else's show.
But I'm here.
Woo! Yeah. The things you should have on your resume for your next job, like skills you should have. We had this list. I think it's real interesting. Plus,
you don't remember, do you?
I don't. You know what?
It's okay. So it'll be a surprise to all of us.
This brings to mind some of the skills that should be on a resume. 5-second attention span, being able to remember basic things.
That makes a good employee.
Public speaking skills would be important too. Should try to acquire some of those before I go on the air. I come bringing news from show business. And it's this lady, probably British, Lady Gaga, has announced unto us that she's doing a really vigorous physical workout preparation to get prepped for the Super Bowl halftime show. Because it's a big show, so she does a big, you know, physical prep. I never thought about talking about that, but that's...
What, letting people know what you were...
Yeah, I do every day.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you guys have seen the, like, in Rocky IV, where Rocky's doing, like, a big montage preparation.
That's what you do for this show?
Let's see if I have. Yeah. Okay. Before every show, as a matter of fact, where he's, like, hanging from the rafters by his knees, mm-hmm. and they have music going on, like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's me before I come on the air, and I'm doing, like, the reverse sit-ups, and mm-hmm. I'm running through snow and stuff that's up to my waist.
Right. Why are you doing that?
Well, the other radio hosts out there have all the latest technology, and they're, you know, got the top people, so they're training.
Yeah.
But I don't have all that.
Yeah.
So I am just out there chopping wood. You can hear that? Chopping. Knocking stuff down.
Yeah. And
training.
That's every morning.
Every morning.
That explains why you come in here exhausted.
Yeah, but also ripped. Exhausted and also ripped is what Sherry wanted to say. So I'm always ready. Something weird about us humans, maybe you've noticed this. When we do the wrong thing and we know it's wrong, we want to punish ourselves. I mean, it's very common across all cultures. There's all stories about people that feel like I have to be punished for what I've done. And if we don't feel that way, we want to at least forget what we've done or move on from it. And I got some good news on that. You don't have to. If you believe in Jesus and what happened with the cross, that's enough. You don't have to add to that. You know, it was a bloody affair. It was an awful thing. But there's not one more thing like, okay, now you need to be punished too to make up. Like, that's not what needs to happen. We don't need you to be punished. Now, there's disciplines and things we can change in our life to move on from this so that the sin doesn't destroy us or people around us. Yeah, that's all good. But the punishment thing, honestly, it was taken care of a long time ago. And when we finally absorb that, we're like, that's really amazing. Well, there is another thing about wanting to punish ourselves. We're talking about when you do something wrong, a lot of times there's this drive, like, I need to be punished. I got to punish myself for it some way. It's very normal. A lot of people deal with it. But actually, this is a wonderful thing about the way we're told to deal with our sin, our brokenness, which everybody really believes in, let's be honest. We know something's really deeply wrong with the world and people are naturally selfish and that sort of thing. Okay, there's one way that the Bible tells us to deal with this, and that is, it gets way undersold, this thing called confessing. Like, that's the drive you might have to do something because of what you've done. Take that drive, channel it into telling someone who is, like, shares your beliefs about who Christ is, and let them know what happened and what you've done. And a lot of times what you're looking for is the way to deal with this guilt. Well, a lot of times that weight is lifted because you can be reminded again, look, Jesus already paid for it. And in fact, I've done it too. And in fact, God still loves you and he hasn't moved away from you. He's not disgusted. Just hearing that kind of stuff can be so wonderful. So I think sometimes we have the drive to self-clean when God's already done the work, but we do need to tell somebody what's going on so that we can deal with that guilt that's left over. This is theory helpful to know. This is from Business Insider. If you are looking for a job or you want a promotion or whatever, 9 skills to have on your resume right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's see what they are. Adobe Photoshop.
Ooh, okay.
Microsoft Excel.
Yes.
Spanish. Speaking Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Web development.
Oh.
Do you know how to do Excel?
I do know how to do Excel, yes.
Because I'm 0 for 4. Search engine optimization. Google Analytics.
No.
Product management.
Wait a minute. Wait. This is for anyone looking for a job?
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's why we're stuck here. I'll be straight up. Because I don't have a single one of those things.
I have the Excel and the Photoshop, but the rest of it I don't have.
I'll be honest. I don't even understand 4 of the things on there. Maybe 5.
You don't even know what they are.
I don't know what you're talking about. So this is supposed to be the most depressing week of the year. Just thought I would share that with you.
Just in case you're in high spirits. Is it really?
Yeah. They just say, for whatever reason, the space after the holidays or okay. I don't know how they figure it out. But at any rate, if you want to deal with feeling down, telling you there's nothing like gratitude. There's nothing like thinking about what am I thankful for? I mean, that is like the perfect antidote for anger, for depression. And if you're like, well, Brant, you don't understand clinical depression. Oh, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I do. And I take medicine for it. Been very upfront about that. Even then, there's something about gratitude in the moment that helps me to think in an ordered way, to get things straight in my head about what matters and what doesn't, to be aware of what's good. I realize it doesn't reverse physiology or things you've been through as a child or stuff like that. It just doesn't, like, gratitude doesn't do that. But I'm telling you what, on a daily basis, there's nothing like it in terms of reorienting and helping you realize, yeah, okay, I feel this way, but I know what's true. And those are two different things. I mean, I can acknowledge, yeah, I feel that way. But the truth is, look at how good God has been to me. Hey, what's up? My name is Brant. Very cool show. You're listening to one of the hippest, hottest.
Oh, we haven't had this in a long time.
Hippity, hoppityest shows that you can ever listen to.
I wonder if anyone's going to have any breaking.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. Not only the show cool, we also bring you breaking animal news as it breaks. I have some animal news to bring to you about some animals. This is amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a goat, right, in West Virginia. This goat is expecting, okay?
Okay.
Like, well along in the gestation period.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say gestation?
Well, here we are.
I can say news. The station.
Yeah.
So what's the diff? Huh? Anyway, well along, there's a cat that massages the goat. Like, the goat lies there. Mm-hmm. And this house cat comes over, and it's a male house cat, comes over, uses his little paws to give a massage, just kneading there on the shoulders or over here.
Mm-hmm.
Then massages the goat. I'm not making this up. You can watch the video if you think there. No.
Right.
Watch it. It's on my Facebook page, Brant Hansen page. Share with your friends.
What?
People are amazed by this video. A cat basically acting as a midwife. Effectively.
See, that's where I knew.
In helping
we
to assist.
Cross over into.
No. Okay. When the goat gave birth, the cat was there massaging and helping it get through it. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You can be like, oh, he's totally making this up. It's a fact. I have the video.
We have a midwife cat. You. That's what you're saying.
A midcat. And you can go online and see this for yourself. And it uses its little paws. It's like kneading here, massaging there. It's unbelievable.
No.
Unbelievable. Brant Hansen page on Facebook. Look, the video is real. I just showed it to Sherry. People are like, oh, it can't possibly be. Let's talk about this cat that has massages a goat all the way through contractions. This goat's a mommy goat.
Mm-hmm.
And now the cat plays with the baby goats.
Okay.
Is that not beautiful? And I showed the video to Sherry of this cat massaging, loving this goat and being a friend to the very end through difficult times. And be honest, what was your reaction? Because you thought it was a hoax.
Yeah. It was something to see. I've never seen anything like it before.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's all I'm looking for. Just acknowledgement.
I just don't know what to do with the information. Like, okay, a cat massaged a mommy goat through labor.
Well, I think
now
I,
what?
I think okay, now what? I think what the now what is now appreciate what animals are
mm-hmm.
and how God made them and how awesome they
okay.
are.
Okay.
That's all.
So I got to get theological there.
You got to get theological with it.
All right. That was the component I was missing.
Start thinking about the goodness of, as you watch this cat use his little paws to massage the mommy goat.
Mm-hmm.
Start thinking about how good your creator is.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking.
I can do that.
Okay. Don't ask me why I know this, but in Ladies Home Journal, they said the following.
That begs the question, Grant.
Don't.
Okay.
Just all gloss right. over it. Just act like, where do, okay, it doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter. Point right. is, anyway, in Ladies Home Journal, they have this thing about forgiveness. Caught my eye. Myth number four about forgiveness is that forgiveness means reconciliation. And they're right, in a sense. It doesn't, like, if somebody's abusive, you mm-hmm. can forgive and move on. You don't have to go back into a situation that's awful like that. So I agree with them on that. But then, listen to this. Sometimes you have to give up a friendship or even a marriage. However, forgiveness gives you the space, strength, and confidence to decide what's best for you. You're entitled to keep your anger.
Well, it actually says that?
Yes.
Well, then how's it forgiveness?
I don't know. That's what I've always
wanted. How are we defining forgiveness if you're going to hold on to your anger?
Right. I'm always like, what does that look like? And that's so common. They're like, well, I'm going to hold on to my anger, but I'm still forgiving. But you should still be angry. Like, what? There's just understanding this. I tried to find that in the Bible. I can't. The idea that I'm supposed to hold on to my anger against you. I have to let it go. And again, I remind myself of this a lot. We talk about it on the air a lot because it's just so human. And we want to talk about things that are actually human, like stuff we're actually dealing with. And it's a good reminder, like, I don't forgive people because of the fact that they deserve it. It's because I didn't deserve it either, and God forgave me. He has every right to crush me like a bug, but he didn't. That's amazing.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brand and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.